Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
And we're looking at the love of God. Here's my premise. Your main knowledge in God has got to be that God loves you unconditionally, desperately, passionately, fervently, and there's nothing you can ever do about that. And unless you're established in that knowledge, your Christian life is somehow going to be, is not going to be well-centered. I think there are many ways that we can approach God. We can approach God because we have a sense of responsibility to approach God. We can approach God because, you know, it's a tradition in our family. We can approach God because we're really hoping that by going to church, he'll think maybe we're good enough to get into heaven. I mean, we can approach God a lot of different ways, but I have to tell you something, that there's a truth in the universe, and the truth in the universe is that God absolutely, unequivocally loves you. And he loves you completely. And I think we have a problem with God. I think humans may or may not know it, but I think we have a grudge. I think that the things that are wrong in the world, the things that are wrong in life, the things that hurt us, the things that offend us, the things we don't understand, if we were to follow the pathway to who we hold responsible for all of this stuff, it would have to lead to God. And so therefore, although most of us would not admit it, we're not all that happy. Because life is kind of good, but life is also kind of hard. You know, it also has things that are, we're limited in certain areas. You know, we were watching a band on TV, some band playing some concert or something like that. And I'm really upset that I can't do that. You know, play that kind of music and sing the way the lead singer was singing with such passion and such, you know, such beauty. It was really cool. It was great. And I'm like, what was the matter with me when I was a kid? Why didn't I learn how to do that? Do you know that now I'm, you know, coming up on 58 years old, I'm limited. I'm never going to be that cool guy rock and roll singer. And that's not good. And there's a part of me who would like to hold God responsible for that. Although I know he's not, but he might be. Because why am I not good at that? I mean, it's the American Idol. It's the guy who sings in his kitchen and his mom and dad say how good he is and he goes tries out for American Idol. And then Simon Cowell blasts the guy because he's a terrible singer. Because we feel like we should just have a birthright to sort of be good at everything. I should be wealthy and I should be a singer and I should write a great novel and I should win a Nobel Prize of some sort. What gives? So I'm going to read two scriptures. The first one is from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 9. And I'm going to read verses 35 down through 38. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Okay? So Jesus looked and he saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion for the multitudes because they were weary and scattered. You know, the heart of God is the desperate desire of God is to be reconciled with people. Because as he looks out across the multitudes of people, he sees that people are weary and scattered. Okay? Now I'm going to read John 16, 23 through 27, and then we'll kind of bring all of this together. It says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing," Jesus speaking. "Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." Okay, so we'll just sort of, I kind of want to bring those together on some level. So first of all, Jesus saw the multitudes. And when he saw the multitudes, he was talking not just about an individual. Sometimes you would see Jesus would be moved with compassion for an individual. But this was a general insight. He saw the multitudes. He saw them. And he perceived the people sort of overall. So it was a social perception. It was a state of being that a lot of the people shared, as opposed to having compassion on a particular person or even a particular family, that they were two things, that they were weary and scattered. And I just wanted to stop and think about those things, that the multitudes were weary and scattered. You know, you may have a good day, but overall, if we were to look at culture, especially the culture that we live in today, with the myriad political beliefs and religions and values and teachings and success teachings. And I mean, it's pretty confusing. It's really tiring to really be a committed, focused believer because we're weary and scattered. Modern society is spiritually cranky. Our modern world is spiritually cranky. We have more that we hold positions more than rest in deep ideals. We hold positions and we argue from our position, whatever our spiritual position is at the moment. We're all in defending some kind of view that we have. And each of us has a slightly different variation of views, but really we probably fall into one or two or three different categories. Because as much as we like to be individuals, we kind of are all the same. Okay? So our world is divisive. Our ears have been confused with so many conflicting opinions. We are deeply suspicious of all authority, period. It's exhausting. We have religions, denominations, we have scientism, we have cults, we have believers, we have cynics, we have earth worshippers, we have political currents. This creates fear and confusion. The people were weary and scattered. So Jesus had compassion because he looked at the multitude and they were weary and scattered. That in the essence of the sense of the word scattered is meant they were not cared for. It said they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, if you think of a flock of sheep that's well tended by somebody who really cares for well tended sheep, you know, I've been abroad enough to have seen shepherds in their actual shepherd work and to see the healthy stock of a sheepfold, you know, as opposed to a lone sheep that you could think of trying to fend for himself with wolves and, you know, the coyotes around here and things like that. Forget about it. You know, they're raggedy, they're confused, they're tired, they have no vision, they have no direction, you know, diseased and so on and so forth. Sheep are not made to dwell alone. Remember when God made Adam? What did he say? It's not good for man to dwell alone. We're meant to be together, little bundles, little precious little congregations. In this case, our American independence many times works against us. It works against us really buying into corporate unity. Because you're not, you know, there's always sort of your self-defense that you have to defend against becoming a part of some kind of a movement that's goofy or off or something like that. And we're supposed to defend ourselves from that. But at the same time, we also have to know where there's a place of legitimate authority where there's safety. And people are watching out for our souls and we're moving together as a unified people. Yes? There's safety in a place like that. We disagree with everyone and it scatters us. We gather at times but maintain an aloof attitude and never really trust God to lead our congregation forward. Under Adam's sort of leadership, our father Adam, the fallen one, the separated from God one, we're weary and scattered, disenfranchised from God, resentful toward one another, mistrusting, misunderstanding, mad at the universe. And it's impossible to figure the whole thing out. It results in more than our share of pain, heartache, misunderstanding. And frankly, it's all because we're limited. Great limitations in life. That's why when we pray, most of us, when we pray, we ask for more. Because asking for more, it doesn't matter what department you're asking for more, you're asking for the release from limitations. Does that make sense? You want more health, you want the limitations of sickness, you want more finances or relational, whatever. Okay. The Old Testament, book of Genesis, has a story of Joseph. And Joseph, most people will say, is a wonderful, interesting type of Christ or a prophetic image of some of the work of Jesus Christ that was revealed by God through the Old Testament. And that only after we've seen who Jesus is does some of this Old Testament stuff make sense to us, because really what it was a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to read Genesis 37, 9 through 11. Hopefully this is all going to come together and it's going to make sense out of all of this. It makes sense in my mind, so that's maybe a scary thing, I guess. Genesis 37, verses 9 through 11. This is a Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer, right? He dreamed still another dream. He had already dreamed the dream that his brothers were all going to bow down to him and got his brothers really hating him for it. And still he dreamed another dream, and he told his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. At this time, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. What is that about? You know, when you see something like this in the Old Testament, you say, well, it's just the Old Testament. It's disconnected from the New Testament. But it's not. It's a prophecy. And the prophecy is that this new Adam would come in Jesus Christ, and the original Adam and Eve and all of the family of man would bow down before this new Adam. That's who Joseph was a prophetic model of. That who we were born of as children of Adam, this limited person, this person who's disenfranchised and disconnected from God, that there would come a day where a new Adam would rise up and we would have our connection with God restored, and that limitations would be lifted from us. Because as long as we're disenfranchised from a God who can do anything, we're limited. when we are reconnected with a God who can do anything, because God made everything, he can do anything. As soon as we're connected with a God who can do anything, all of our limitations are lifted. That means anything becomes possible through you as a child of God, as a child of this new Adam, as a child of this one who's now connected to the God who made everything. So that now this whole sort of sense of mourning that you have as a human being based on your limitations, you've done as well as you've done. God bless you. You've done well, you know, but we're still limited. Now in God, we can begin like Joseph to dream because we become connected with the God who has no limitations. So therefore, the place in life that you were born, the education that you have, the limitations that you have as a child of Adam are now lifted and you're invited to dream because now you've been made to be a child of the Lord Jesus Christ, a child of God through Jesus Christ. That ought to be like a hip hip hooray. That is powerful. That is powerful. And the problem is that we, as children of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been used to living within the glass bowl. We don't really see how much opportunity we have. And unless you can see or you're convinced of the opportunities that lie before you, you won't even dream. Because as a human being, before you accomplish anything, you first have to dream it. You have to dream it before you do it. You have to see it before you do it. If I go to Kingston, I have to think of going to Kingston. You have to do everything you do. You have to think that you're going to do it before you do it. You're not a pinball. Right? Bouncing around. You have to think of what you want to do. But it's only after you've connected with an unlimited God can you actually imagine beyond the constraints of your limitation? So Joseph would get up and say, I don't know, it's crazy, but I had a dream that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars all bowed down to me. See, most of us wouldn't even dare to mention anything like that because his brothers did what people do. Who do you think you are? I think I'm somebody who God really likes. And God is unlimited. My dad, Charlie Englehart, was limited. Good dad, love him very much. Limited dad. My father, God, is unlimited. 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 I could become the king of an African country if God is God. I don't see that happening. That's not really on my bucket list. But if you're talking about unlimited, what is in your heart? What is in your heart? What is in your heart? Now, what is really in your heart? What is really in your heart? What comes out of it if you really look inside? The place where you could probably go and cry in some corner because it's a thing that you've always seen yourself doing or being. What is that? Because God put it there and it was intended for you to fulfill it. Because it's not going to be some whimsical thing, some American Idol thing. It's going to be something far more substantive and meaningful. Yeah? We okay? All right, it's a prophecy of Jesus. He dreamed a dream. But you see, remember his father, Jacob, had, out of all of his children, put a special coat on his shoulders. He knew he had the favor of his father. He knew that he was special among all his brothers. So when he went to sleep and dream, he never had a limitation on his dream. He never saw himself as probably never going to make it. He saw himself as potentially anything. His father crafted for him a special many-colored coat, and he had to wear it wherever he went. He went with his father's favor on his shoulders. He had an attitude. And his attitude let him dream. His attitude let him dream. There's a place where you're not worried about anything, that your dreamer, your inner dreamer, your inner dream machine takes off. And if you're tormented, demonically tormented, tormented by, you know, annoyances of what you don't have in life, you're upset, you're jealous, you're envious, you're cranky, all of those, your dream machine won't work hardly at all. And if it does work, it's going to work in a twisted kind of a way. John the Baptist meets Jesus in the Jordan. John the Baptist has got a camel coat on, and he eats locusts and wild honey. And John the Baptist represents the first Adam. Because when God kicked Adam out of the garden, he killed animals, and he put an animal skin over the top of Adam. And he sent him out of the garden so he would have to eat wilderness food. That's locusts and wild honey. So when John the Baptist came, he came dressed really as Adam. So in the Jordan River, you see the first Adam and the second Adam prophetically meeting together. And that's the whole opportunity that we have. And baptism is the death of the first Adam, the fatherhood or the patriarch, the first Adam, so that we can be children of the second Adam. Unlimited Jesus. What did Jesus just say? He said, in that day, you will ask me nothing. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. What? How can he say that? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. How big is that? And that's only for church things. That's only if you ask him for whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. How many times do I have to say it? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. That's a big statement. That's bold. That's cavalier. How can he get away with saying that? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. What's the implication? That you're in God. That you're in Jesus. Right? So people are afraid to ask God for bold things. Because why? Because we don't even know. We don't know him well enough to know if he's going to want to have the proclivity to give us that. But Jesus says whatever. What I'm telling you today is there's something in you that you don't dare to believe that he put in there. Because he wants to fulfill it in you. You said, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. That means that God wants you to ask for stuff that's going to make you happy. Ask that you may receive that your joy may be full. That means that you should ask for stuff that's going to make you happy. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. What will make me happy? Maybe a good job will make me happy. Maybe a good, a raise will make me happy. Maybe, peace in my family will make me happy. Maybe more kids will make me happy. I don't know. Maybe a big house will make me happy. I don't know. And I'm not, listen, this is not name it, claim it. This is a state of being. This is a kingdom that you buy into completely and wholly. He says, ask and you will receive that your joy will be made full. I'm happier the better I'm doing in life. Listen, ask for a good life. Ask for a good life. Ask God for a good life. Ask God for peace. Ask God for a good marriage. Ask God for good children. Ask God for prosperity. Ask God for a raise. Ask God for a new job. Ask God for things that will make your joy full. All right, These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I'm not going to speak to you in figurative language, but I'll tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. Do not say that you should pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you. He loves you. You must first be secure in his love, because once you're secure in his love, you'll run after him like a beloved child runs after daddy. A daddy who's a soft touch, who's got a heart and he's a soft touch. And all you got to do is have a little hissy fit and he's going to, okay. But daddy, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. I remember when I was, I shared this in one of my books, I broke down my parents. I think I was maybe 12 years old. And the monkeys were on TV. And I want to be a monkey so bad. See, I always wanted to be a rock star. I wanted to be a monkey so bad. I wanted to be like Mickey, I think. I don't know who. And there was a guitar at the discount department store. It was 1995, and that was a lot of dough back in those days. And my parents, that was way beyond our budget. I was one of seven kids. That was way beyond my parents' budget. But a kid doesn't care that it's beyond your parents' budget. You don't care. So I broke them down. Broke them down. I wore them out. A kid knows how to do these things. I broke them down. You know? I mean, I didn't stop. I started playing the air guitar. Around my mom and dad, you know, so they would see it. Man, see me now playing guitar. You know, I'm very musical, mom and dad, you know. And I broke them down and I got the guitar. It was a terrible disappointment because it didn't make music. I strummed it and it sounded terrible. I'm like, ew, bring this back. It must be broken. I thought I was just supposed to strum and I sound like a cool rock and roll guy. You mean this takes work? I'm not interested. But listen, it looked very cool propped up in the corner of my bedroom. Yeah? So, the Bible says this in Ephesians 2. It says, Jesus, he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and he has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity, or the problem, the issue between God and man. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. God loves you. That is a general condition. And it's mostly our grudges in our heart that keep us from him. We have a hard time believing the God of the universe loves us. Listen, this is what Jesus did. Jesus is God, in fact, saying, look, I know you're mad at me. And I take full responsibility. It's a little complex for you to understand why this is not actually my fault. But because you're so mad at me, because of your limitations, because of your pain, then go ahead and put me to death on the cross. Go ahead. I'll take all of it. All of your hatred, all of your resentment, I'll take it. Go ahead. Hit me with it so that we can have peace between us. You're mad about your life, you're mad about your limitations, you're upset about this, you don't have more of that, you're never content. Okay, you're right, I take responsibility, I'm God, you're right, I created everything, you're right, I take responsibility for it, now put it on me. And Jesus brings it into death so that he can make peace with us. God loves you that much. He's saying, you're right. I know that you're mad. I know that you're upset. You're right. Put it on Jesus so that you can come to me and then we can be friends. And I can show you how much I love you. How can I show you how much I love you? Ask whatever you will, that your joy may be filled. It's okay to go to God to say, God, I want more of you. I want more of your love. I want more of your blessing. Okay, the separation has been removed. God loves you. Ask what you will because God is unlimited. Jesus' compassion moved him. In our scripture, we saw Jesus' compassion moved him. Jesus' heart moves for you. Jesus has compassion for you. The confusion, the pain, the heartache, all of those things, come to Jesus with those things because he has compassion and he will move to heal you, to make you happy. Listen, happiness is, we use the word so frequently. Nancy's got the Pharrell happy song on her phone. Happy, happy, happy. You know, it's such an overused term, but it's such a wonderful state of being. Happiness is a wonderful state of being. Listen, God wants you happy. It's the thing about Christians. I've always been happy. You know, we have some of our brethren over in the Middle East right now, and I just saw this, you know, was one block over from this one missionary that we're in connected with, you know, just immovable in his love for Jesus Christ and his commitment to stay among the people that God has asked him to work, even though the ISIS people were one block over and they're like, we're in the thing. We're not going anywhere. We love Jesus and these people he sent us to. Like, man, that only happens in a Christian. That only happens in a believer. Your future in God starts with being assured of his love for you, and then you can dream. You're in a posture where you can dream. And if God can and will do anything, and he loves me, my hope can expand beyond my limitations. Being secure in God's unmerited favor opens up your dream. Amen.
Hi, this is Bob Englehart back in our studio, and I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength, and certainly one of the ways that human joy is fulfilled is when we receive something wonderful. Well, first of all, receiving our status as a child of God through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most wonderful gift anybody will ever get. If you repent of your sins and look to God and claim the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ as payment in full for your sins, then God will receive you as his own child. And then Jesus says, now ask now that you may receive, that your joy may be made full. And there are dreams and desires in your heart that as you take those desires and dreams to God, it is his good pleasure to answer you, to respond to your prayers, to fill you with good things and cause your life to be turned from maybe mourning into happiness and joy. Such is the life of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and claim what God has already done for you. Come and take advantage of it today. Hey, listen, get out to church. If you don't have a church, I'd like to invite you to come and join us here for services any Sunday morning at Catskill Mountain Christian Center, 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Catskill Mountain Christian Center, 629 Main Street, Margaretville, New York, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. Please consider becoming a financial supporter of Catskill Mountain Christian Center. Apart from our weekly On Fire Radio broadcast, which comes on the air in our Delaware County area and is available on the internet at any time, we do many good works in our community, one of which is providing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of food every year to low-income families in our region through our Family Table Community Assistance Program. We have two locations, one in our facility on Main Street in Margaretville, and the second one on Route 23, just on the Oneonta side of Stamford. We've recently opened up in Stamford, and it's receiving a wonderful reception in that community, and we're helping just many lower-income people to be able to get extra provisions for themselves. So as a full-blown ministry, we are here to serve our neighbors and have been doing so going on 25 years, and it's a great privilege. And I would love for you to consider financially supporting the work of Catskill Mountain Christian Center. You can look us up and make a donation through the PayPal function on our website at cmcconline.org. That's www.cmcconline.org. Till next week, this is Bob Englehart saying God bless you, have a great day, and I'll see you in church.